Bills Radio Network Sports Update.
The update from One Bills Drive, where the Buffalo Bills are practicing today. A rare Tuesday practice for the team. They'll work out again tomorrow, then take Thursday off for Thanksgiving. Looks like cornerback Taron Johnson is in a non-contact jersey. Not quite sure what his issue is today. Quarterback Derek Anderson back on the field. Looks like he is participating in the workout. We'll get the complete post-practice report after practice today. Should end in about sometime in the next hour. Bills getting Josh Allen ready to play. And offensive coordinator Brian Daboll says he can give a good portion of the Buffalo offense to Allen as he gets ready to take on the Jacksonville Jaguars on Sunday. 1 o'clock kickoff on Sunday here at New Era Field. The Bills and the Jaguars, a couple of 3-7 teams. NFL's game of the year lived up to the billing last night. The highest scoring game in Monday Night Football history. Third highest scoring game in NFL history. The Rams needed two late Patrick Mahomes interceptions to hold on and beat Kansas City 54-51 at the end of Week 11 in the NFL. It was an unbelievable game, an unforgettable meeting between two great offensive teams, two rising quarterbacks, and two transcendent teams. The game moved from Los Angeles to Mexico City on just a week's notice. 105 combined points, 1,001 total yards in the game, and the Rams come out on top by 3 points. Sam Darnold is jogging and out of his walking boot, but he did not practice with the New York Jets yesterday as they come out of the bye. Darnold still not certain whether he will be able to play when the Jets take the field again. They play Sunday against the first-place Patriots at MetLife Stadium in New Jersey. Buffalo Sabres continue their winning ways last night with an overtime win in Pittsburgh. Down 4-1, the Sabres stormed back to win at 5-4 in overtime. Jack Eichel scored the game winner in overtime, his fourth career overtime goal. Buffalo has now won 6 games in a row, 7-0-2 in one-goal games this year. Sabres back in action tomorrow night when they host the Philadelphia Flyers at KeyBank Center. That is a 7:30 faceoff. Coaching changes in the NHL. Ken Hitchcock takes over for Todd McClellan. He will replace him with the Edmonton Oilers. The fourth NHL head coaching firing of the season in the last 12 hours. The Blues dismissed coach Mike Yeo late Monday night. Last season, there were no head coaching firings during the regular season, a first since the original 6. And that's the update from One Bills Drive. John Murphy, Steve Tasker in our One Buffalo studio with the Bills out on the practice field. On Tuesdays, right at this time, we have a regular visit with Peter King, longtime NFL writer. He is with NBC Sports and Pro Football Talk, and he writes the Football Morning in America column for Pro Football Talk every week. Peter's on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline with us. Hello, Peter. John Murphy and Steve Tasker here in Buffalo. Thanks for joining us.
What's up, guys? How are you?
We're well, and before I forget, I want to wish you and your family a happy Thanksgiving. I'm sure you, like most of us, are really looking forward to some family time later on this week.
Same to you guys. I really am. Thanks so much, and hope you guys have a great day.
Yeah, I think we will. We're off for a couple of days.
Yeah, we get a couple of days off. It'll be fun. Yeah.
All right, go ahead.
You know, the topic of the day, Peter, what do you think the ripple effect or the impression that last night's Rams-Chiefs game had on the NFL and the fan bases and maybe the future of the league? Is it that profound?
Steve, I think what I would hope, really, is that the season's going on, you're not going to change anything during the season. I would hope that the NFL would have a conversation after the season in which they say, essentially, is this the game that we want? Overall, the three biggest games this year in the regular season in terms of, you know, excitement and all that this year have been Chiefs and Patriots, Mahomes-Brady. That was an 83-point game. Then there was the Rams and the Saints. That was an 80-point game. And then the Rams and the Chiefs played last night. That was a 105-point game. And I think the NFL has to ask, do we want our marquee games to be Big 12 games? Do we want them to be West Virginia, Oklahoma State? Because that's what they're going to be. So that's, I think, the first question to ask. And again, by the way I frame the question, I think you would probably gather that I think I would rather not see that. And I don't necessarily mean that. Having one of those once every... once or twice or three times a season is fine. But it is going to become the norm because of the way the game is officiated and because of the rules advantages to the offense. And so if that's what it is, then it is. We'll all adapt to it. It'll just be a different reality. And you think that the TV networks are going to say anything? No. They're going to say give us more offense because last night year over year. The ESPN rating was up 57% compared to last year. So ESPN is having a parade in Bristol, Connecticut today. They're not going to say anything like, ooh, bring defense back. You know, change the rules so it's more of a fair game. It's not a fair game now. It's an unfair game. But that's the way it is, so everybody's going to have to adjust.
All right, my question would be, after a game like this, that everything about this game seemed to be an exaggeration, is there a possibility that this game was an experiment by the league office? I mean, they pulled it out of Mexico City for ostensibly because the field wasn't good enough. They handpicked a group of officials to do this game. They put it on Monday Night Football so they could get more eyes on it. Did they do everything they could to find out if a game like this or a league like this would fly?
Steve, I think you're reaching a little bit. I'll tell you why. I mean, the game was scheduled. You know, the game for this day and this time on April 18th. So no one could know at that time that Patrick Mahomes was going to have. I think he's got 37 touchdown passes right now. No one could know how the Chiefs were going to be this explosive offense. You know, I really want to know. I think the officiating crew part of it is interesting. And I don't know why they did that. I should know, but I don't know. I was caught up in doing other things this weekend, and I've not made a single phone call to ask about it. So that's the second part. But and they had to move the game out of Mexico City. I don't think the players were going to take the field last night if the game were in Mexico City. They heard about it. They saw it. The NFL risked an incredible embarrassment of players refusing to play a game if they forced them to play on a field that was basically a poor high school field. So, having said all of those things, I think the NFL is interested in seeing how the public reacts to games that are totally, totally different from what the public is used to. And judging by just early reaction to this, I think the NFL is feeling, man, we're getting away with one here. We're gonna be able to make bigger games. It's funny, the fantasy football league that I'm in, two teams in the league this weekend scored over 220 points. And again, for people who play fantasy football, that's probably not going to be a surprise to you, but you got guys in these games scoring 55 points and you know, scoring double of what, you know, normal players would score. So it's a long way of saying, no, the NFL didn't set out to make this experiment, but the NFL is benefiting financially from the game and what happened here.
On the line with Peter King, Pro Football Talk, NBC Sports. He writes Football Morning in America. Peter, what is it that makes you think that last night's game was an unfair game? Who is it unfair to?
I mean, it was a competitive game, so it wasn't unfair to the teams. All I'm saying is that the rules right now, there was a play in the first half of this game where a defensive back was called for hitting a defenseless receiver. And if you watch the replay of the play, I played it back three or four times. I said the only way to change this play is for the safety to stop, to allow the ball to be caught or dropped by the player and then react. It's not fair. It is not fair to the defense right now what's happening in the NFL. It just isn't. The NFL is trying to say we're doing everything possible for the health and safety of our players. Everything. And look, I applaud them for that mostly. But this is a tough game. And either you're going to play the game competitively or you're not. And right now the NFL has set out the rules in this game so that it's fundamentally and, in my opinion, way field-tiltingly unfair to the defense.
Peter, one more question on this game before we move on. What do the rest of us in the NFL do? What do the Buffalo Bills do? You know, averaging.
I mean, look, the Bills are at the total other end of the spectrum.
Yes.
Week to week, you have no idea who's going to play quarterback. Two of the quarterbacks you've played this year on your team, who you've sent out there, got there 10 minutes ago, were handed a uniform and a helmet and said, survive.
I know.
That's what they said to Derek Anderson and Matt Barkley. So you can't judge this. This is not every team. It's not every – but you know, the goal is for the Buffalo Bills, for Brian Daboll to put out an offense that can, maybe not won't play it every week, that can play a game like the Saints or the Rams, you know, or the 49ers with a healthy Garoppolo or the Patriots. Or you know, there's 10 teams right now – in my opinion, that on a given day easily could score 50 points. And that's got to be everybody's goal. But as for what everybody else should do, it's the design right now so that everybody else is able to do this stuff. You know, Saturday night I sat in on a team meeting with Sean Payton, Drew Brees, and the New Orleans Saints. Payton let me sit in. I wrote it in a long column for my Monday Football Morning in America column. And I saw something there that I wrote about that is the darndest thing I've ever seen in my life. In their walkthrough in the hotel ballroom in the French Quarter in New Orleans on Saturday night, Sean Payton barked out a play call. And in this play, there were five offensive linemen lined up in this hotel ballroom. There was a bunch formation of three receivers to the left, including Drew Brees, and a bunch formation of three receivers to the right, including Taysom Hill, the backup quarterback. And quite literally, there was not a quarterback or a running back in the backfield when Max Unger put his hands on the ball to snap it to the quarterback. And I'm just saying, I'm waiting. I'm like, my jaw's dropping. I said, what, somebody screwed this up. There's no quarterback. But eventually, Taysom Hill came in, quickly called out the signals, took the snap, and ran the play. My point is, the imagination on offense in so many of these places is totally, absolutely off the charts. You add to that imagination, which Sean Payton just thought of this play last week, but you add to that imagination that all the rules are to their advantage as well. So I just think right now that I'm not saying all the brain power. There's an awful lot of brain power on offense. And the NFL has set up the rules to favor the offense consistently.
You did spend, and we're talking with Peter King of Football Morning in America. Peter, tell us a little bit about what you learned being embedded with the Saints this past week. You spent considerable amount of time with them. You spent time with Drew Brees, Sean Payton, as you just alluded to, even into the walkthrough the day before the game. What did you learn, and what was the most interesting part of your week with the Saints?
I think the thing that I learned more than anything else is I learned why Sean Payton and Drew Brees are so good together. And that is because they've been together 13 years, and they trust each other so much that, and I know this is going to sound extremely strange, Steve, but Sean Payton takes his play sheet, and they have a 40-minute meeting. He and Brees and the other quarterback and offensive quarterback coach, offensive coordinator, and they all sit in there, and Brees goes over each category, each of the 18 play categories on the sheet, like, you know, close red zone, tight red zone, you know, all that. And they go over everything. And Drew Brees gave Sean Payton 46 plays that he liked and he wanted to run the next day. Payton put a dot on his game plan, and he planned to call those if he was in position to. He planned to call them all the next day because Payton likes all the plays on his game plan, and he wants to know from Brees, okay, Brees would say, I like this play, and here's why I like it. I think we could take advantage of X, Y, and Z. And so you would think that Sean Payton, with all he's accomplished in his NFL career and being this imaginative coach, you would think that Payton would say, all right, guys, here's what we're doing tomorrow. And he comes in with a game plan, hands it to him, said, all right, here's the first 15 plays we're going to run, blah, blah, blah. He doesn't do that. he says to Breeze, what do you want to do? And Breeze tells him what he's most comfortable with, and that's what Peyton calls the next day. It's really the coolest thing. It's almost like you feel like the employees run the company. And I'm sure he wouldn't do that if he's starting Taysom Hill, you know.
But
even Teddy Bridgewater. I'm sure he wouldn't be doing that. But when you have a guy as great as Breeze, who's had the kind of career and who deserves the trust of his head coach, and you see that, it all seems so logical. And that's probably the thing I learned the most.
Peter King is with us. His column, Football Morning in America, appears every Monday morning. You also write about our buddy Frank Reich. Steve and I openly root for Frank Reich to succeed. And you kind of indicate there are signs that Frank might be ready to join the new breed of NFL offensive coaches, obviously helped along by a really good, talented quarterback, huh?
Well, I think, you know, when I talked to him Sunday night, the one thing, Frank Reich was emotional when I talked to him. Because he said, you know, after they were at rock bottom, they were 1-5 in the middle of October, and, you know, they had that game where he went for it on 4th-and-4, he didn't make it, and instead of having a tie game or whatever, you know, he ended up losing the game to Houston. And Houston's never going to lose again now. I think the one thing about Reich is that he truly, truly appreciates where he is and what he's doing and his lot in life, because I think overall he realizes that there's only 32 of these jobs and probably only 10 of them have clear, absolute franchise quarterbacks. I got one of those jobs. And I think he's just very grateful. But I don't want to say, hey, I knew this would happen, but I saw what Frank Reich did in Philadelphia last year. I knew him last year. I knew Doug Peterson last year. I knew his value and exactly what he did. And he never met a strange play he didn't like either. As he grows with Andrew Luck, and as they grow together, I think without any question, you're going to see some of the same type of imaginative stuff. But, I mean, look, in year one, in 2006, Breeze is coming off major shoulder surgery, and Peyton is some wet-behind-the-ears rookie head coach. So, honestly, you know, you wouldn't have seen anything like this in 2006. But now they've developed to the point where what you want with your coach is to last a long time, to hang on to the team, to win enough so that he gets to the point with his quarterback, with his smart, smart quarterback like Luck is, like Drew Brees is, so you can get to the point where you complete each other's sentences. And that's what Frank Reich's goal has to be in Indianapolis.
Now, one last question I've got for you, and it has to do with the Bills matchup this weekend. The Jacksonville Jaguars are coming to Buffalo, and I want to ask you about, you talk about all these imaginative coaches. Let's talk about Doug Marrone.
Wow.
And
shots fired.
And, yeah. Well, you get my point. There's still those in the NFL that, you know, they're trying to do this by running it and grinding it out and playing good defense.
Yeah, that's the way Doug – and look, I guarantee you, if Ben Roethlisberger doesn't make the comeback of the weekend, you know, in Jacksonville, I guarantee you that Doug Marrone will be saying, see, you know, we're gonna be a running team, and that's what we are and all that. And I think that's the way Doug Peterson and Tom Coughlin figured they wanted to play, because they don't trust Blake Bortles. However – you know, a funny thing happened on the way to the, you know, to sort of the Back to the Future, and that is that, you know, they couldn't put enough points on the board to make that work. And so they're not going to be able to come into Buffalo, and maybe, who knows, maybe they will, and run it 45 times and just try to play ball possession football and win. But I don't know what you're going to see. I mean, I can't imagine there's a more frustrated, angry coach in the NFL right now than Doug Marrone.
Well, that might be his natural state, too.
Yeah.
Well, you guys would know.
Yeah. Hey, yeah. Peter, thanks for this. We live in interesting NFL times right now, don't you agree?
Very interesting, no matter what happens. And look, I'm not saying this is the worst thing in the world. Last night was really fun.
Yeah, I get it.
I just think that I want a game that is a competitive game on both sides of the ball. And I just think if you've got one of the quarterbacks that gives you a chance, when I say 10 teams any week can score 50, I mean even teams like the Detroit Lions. I truly believe that when the circumstances are right, they could score 50 because of Matthew Stafford. And look, you know, the Colts were close to, they were one score away from scoring 50. I just think that having balance in the game where you're giving both sides an equal chance is a game that I want to watch.
Gotcha. Yeah. Peter, thanks for this. Great work. Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys. Take care.
All right, Pete.
Peter King, Pro Football Talk, NBC Sports, been covering pro football for more than three decades. You can read him every Monday, Football Morning in America, on the Pro Football Talk website. All right. Interesting stuff there. I do believe, I just thought when listening to Peter, we are right now, and maybe just, I don't think it all happened last night, but last night was like the culmination of, we are in interesting times now in the NFL. We are in transition, it seems, in the NFL, and maybe a couple of steps down the road a little bit.
More so than any other time, you're getting a glimpse into how the league lets the game evolve, and it has to do with the officiating and what they do, particularly in this case, in the secondary. When they let these guys run all over the field and you can't put your hands on them, it's hard to keep up with them. It really is. And there's not enough guys defensively to do it.
Yeah.
And like last night, you saw a couple of times, I think it happened at least three times, where a defender got tangled up and slipped. And it was a touchdown.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all there was to it. It was over. And that's where the league is. That's where the league can take its game anywhere it wants. And that's an illustration of how they do it. They've allowed the game to evolve over the years, like I just went off and ranted on, you know, last segment. But, you know, they can change the game if they want to, and you can bet that they're watching very closely the numbers that they think are pertinent.
Sure.
And making some decisions based on it.
All right, when we come back, the guy who's going to wave the flag, lead the charge Sunday, Terrence McGee, longtime Bills defensive back, will join us live on the line. Peter joined us on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline, presented by Subway Restaurants, proud to be locally owned and operated. Steve Tasker, John Murphy. One Bills Live from One Bills Drive, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio. Welcome back. John Murphy, Steve Tasker, One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. We expect to hear from Terrence McGee, longtime Bills return specialist, corner, coming to town this weekend for the he'll be the leader of the charge. Bills should be wrapping up practice any minute now, and after practice, we expect and hope to hear from Deontay Thompson, new old wide receiver, who's going to join us when practice wraps up. He is one of the additions to the Buffalo offense. They're trying to get faster, quite frankly, Steve, as they move through the final third of the season, trying to get faster with the additions of Isaiah McKenzie, Robert Foster back in the lineup, and of course, Deontay Thompson. Brian Daboll spoke with the media this morning, and he was asked about that. What does the addition of all this speed mean to your offense? What can you do with that? Here's what Brian Daboll had to say.
But it's always good to have guys that can run and stretch the defense. I think, you know, Brandon, Joe, and their staff have done a really good job of whether it's bringing guys up from the practice squad or bringing guys in off the street, you know, to try to fit what we want to try to do. So, you know, anytime it's a big man, fast man game. So that's always good.
Yeah, Brian Daboll, that's kind of obvious what he said. But
Big man, fast man.
I'm really eager to see what they do with this speed. You know, what role does Deontay Thompson play? What role does Robert Foster have an even bigger role than he played last week? Isaiah McKenzie, how many offensive snaps can he get? He obviously was pretty good as a return specialist, but what about using him on offense? I think they can expand the roles of these guys, Steve, and I look forward to seeing that this week. Let's start this week.
And I think they're going to try and do that. I think last night's game is a snapshot of where NFL offenses want to be. They want to be fast on the outside. They want to be stretch the field. And that's why I think this is a team that has struggled. You know, you got a guy like Kelvin Benjamin on the outside who's a big, big, he's really big target, but he's not that fast. He runs pretty good routes, but this is a guy that has a catch radius, and he's a guy that you throw to when he's covered. Nowadays, the league is about getting guys in space and throwing them when there's nobody around them and letting them make guys miss as the pursuit catches up to them. So they're changing on the fly even as we speak, and they're adjusting their roster accordingly. And And you can bet that they're going to start doing some things differently like they did against the Jets. I mean, that Jet off the offense we saw the Bills run against the Jets with Matt Barkley, well, let's face it, didn't look anything like that what they'd been running in the month and a half before that. And it looked pretty good with a guy who was fresh off the street. So I can imagine that you're going to see a lot more of that type of offensive philosophy going forward.
Although I would not say that the Bills are going to respond or have responded to what went on last night. I think they had this speed plan in motion a couple of weeks now.
Yeah.
I will say this, though. Something happened last night, and we were kind of talking about during the break. You get that sense from our conversation with Peter King, with Omar Ruiz a little bit later on. Something happened last night in the NFL where everybody just kind of sat up straight like, oh, I heard that it was the league was changing, and there it is. It's right in front of us now, right? Something happened last night.
I think so. I think people got an idea that for the first time you saw the league perceived – the league is tinkering with the game in such a way that made a dramatic difference. So it's almost the point where the league, NFL, is almost like a manufacturer. Oh, you want this, but you want it in red? Okay, we'll paint it red here. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, they gave you you know, what people kind of have asked for. This game looked like it was going to be that, and the league put together a supersonic set of officials to make sure the game went like they thought it was going to go, and the teams provided the rest.
Yeah, that was like, weird, by the way.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that – and Peter, I believe that he will get into it. Remember I asked yesterday, I went with Sal Palantonio, and he sort of dismissed me when I said, why would they make that move? And he's like, I don't know.
Yeah,
he's an all-star, you know, Super Bowl in the middle of the season.
Bro,
but there's a reason why they made that officiating change yesterday. I'd like to know exactly what it was.
I think the league has a better handle on the knobs and buttons and what the game looks like. I think they have a better handle on that than most people would perceive that they do. I think they think that the players take over on any given Sunday and they just go out and play the game, and the way it happens is the way it happens. I think the league has a profound effect on what the game looks like, and I think last night is proof of it.
It's different.
Because up until last 5 or 6 or 7, 10 years maybe, did we also get the thing, this in our vernacular, about points of emphasis.
Yeah.
The league puts those things out and things change on the field.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, they're in the kitchen cooking and they're trying to, you know, bring out a recipe that people are going to eat up. And last night, people were feasting on that. Let's face it.
Last night's game, maybe a look into the future of the NFL. That's our Twitter poll. Do you like where the league may be headed? Give us a call, 803-0550 or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. On Twitter, 57% of you say, yes, you like where the league is headed based on what you saw last night. 43% of you say, no, not really. Let's hear from you. Let's get to a call here from Andrew in Buffalo. Hello, Andrew, go ahead. You're on the air. Hello, Andrew in Buffalo. Sorry, Andrew. Let's try Rick in Denver, Colorado. Hello, Rick, go ahead.
Hey, guys. So the NFL is an evolution of offense and defense. It started off, Eric Coryell basically brought the passing game to the NFL when it was primarily a running game. And then you got the spread offenses that basically require a defense to cover the entire field. And what's going to happen is you're going to start getting smaller, more athletic linebackers. You're going to get smaller, quicker defensive ends to put pressure on the quarterback. And then what's going to happen is the defenses will eventually catch up to this pass-happy league, and then somebody's going to go back to ground and pound. They're going to start running the game against these smaller defenders, and it's going to be this constant evolution. And it seems like the offenses are the ones that initiate the evolution, and the defenses stop it, and then the offense has to change again. But the only thing that seems to change is the distribution between pass and run.
Yeah. Rick, you make a really good point. I've thought about that today, too, in light of last night's game. Two things I'd like to bring up. One is the rules changes, as Peter King talked about. That I think, does put a disproportionate amount of benefit, give a disproportionate benefit to the offensive side of the ball. And that may slow down the evolution you talk about. And the second thing is defensive play. And Steve made a great point this morning. We were talking before the show about there's defense to be played, but the defense is not, you know, a brick wall you can't run against. His defense is now is attack and get the ball, rip the ball out, right?
Yeah, it's a whole different philosophy. And I get it where you're saying, Rick, that you know, the teams are going to get smaller and faster, and then somebody's going to go out and get a 250-pound fullback and go three tight ends and get a big offensive line, and they're just going to bulldoze people up front because the other team's going to be built to stop all these high-flying offenses, and they're going to have 260-pound defensive linemen, and they're going to catch them unprepared for a big physical offensive line where you can just run the football. I don't think it'll happen like that. I think it'll happen slow. The league last night, with the being the notable exception, the league goes very slowly in directions. And I don't think it'll change because I don't think people will go backward and say, yeah, I want to see more big running game. People won't want to see it, so the league won't allow it to happen.
Well, I think what will drive it, though, is winning. If teams can play better defense and win by running the football, is the evolution that the caller talked about. If a team decides that's our ticket to winning, then they'll do it.
They won't do
regardless
it.
Regardless of what the TV rating. They won't do it?
Well, no, and here's why. Here's came to me. Because you're going to be out there grinding it out. You're still going to be a time when you're going to be 10 points down, and you're going to have to throw it to catch up.
Yeah, sure.
You're not going to throw it to a 250-pound guy being covered. I mean, you can't spread the field and get speed then. So your offense is going to be at a detriment anytime you go drop down by double
digits. Let's talk about balance. Teams will want to be balanced, I think, offensively. Maybe. If what the caller says is true, and I think he's onto something about the evolution and maybe the back and forth nature of offense versus defense,
you would
benefit by having a balanced offense that can do a variety of different things. I think that's probably the likeliest outcome here.
You can be balanced, but you're going against a team who's not balanced, who's scoring on every possession, and you got to keep up with them. So you're not going to gain anything.
Teams don't score on every possession. Those are two high-level quarterbacks.
That may be. They may not score in every possession, but my point is you're going to have to keep up.
With some and maybe not with others.
Yeah. But here's the thing. Your defense is still going to be hamstrung against that fast offense that you're facing. Your defense is still not going to be able to say, okay, we're going to stop them on 60% of their drives today. They're not getting any points. That's not going to happen anymore. So you're going to attack that with a running game, and that's not going to work.
And I think some teams without Patrick Mahomes, without Jared Goff, are going to struggle to play that kind of offense.
That's an interesting point, too. Now, if it's Patrick Mahomes and all these guys like Jared Goff, who was a bust 1 year and tremendous the next year, and Patrick Mahomes, who couldn't get on the field with Alex Smith and then came on and was an MVP candidate, is it going to be Johnny Sixpack shows up in training camp, and now you can get every kid who ever took a snap in college in the Big 12 is going to come in and start lighting up the NFL. Is that what's going to happen,
too? No, I don't think it will.
I don't know. It might.
I don't think so.
We're seeing a lot of young quarterbacks coming in and lighting it up pretty good.
Talented guys. Joe and Tonawanda.
Are they more talented? How do you know
Mahomes
more,
was a great college quarterback.
How do you know they're more talented?
Goff was a really good college quarterback.
So is Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, he's going to be good, too.
So are all these guys. I mean, come on.
They're all going to be good?
That's just my point. What if you got like 19 guys that are lighting it up like – you know, like Dan Marino in 1984. You got 19 guys and 10 of them throw for 5,000 yards.
There's not that many good players.
That's what I'm saying. The bar is going to drop, so it's going to become easier to play quarterback because of this new rule system.
I don't know about
that. Nobody can touch their receivers. The windows are big, like they are the Big 12, you know?
A break here. We're coming back with more John Murphy, Steve Tasker, One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio. One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. John Murphy, Steve Tasker coming to you on this Tuesday afternoon, Thanksgiving week. We've got a short week. We will not be on the air Thursday or Friday this week. You'll survive. Talking a lot about Sunday's game, the Bills and the Jaguars. And before Sunday's game, as the Bills take the field, the leader of the charge will bring him out there, waving a flag on that little scaffolding above the tunnel entrance. The leader of the charge this week, former Bills cornerback from 2003 through 2012, Pro Bowl performer in 2004, a fourth-round pick of the Bills in 2003 out of Northwestern State. He's on the line with us live right now, former Bills cornerback Terrence McGee. Terrence, John Murphy and Steve Tasker up here in Buffalo. How are you doing down there in Texas today?
Yeah, I'm doing all right. Appreciate you guys having me.
Yeah, what do you think about being leader of the charge? Are you excited about that Sunday?
I'm not going to say I'm excited, like, to pretty much be a mascot. it's definitely going to be fun, you know, to come back and get to watch the games and actually, you know, kind of sort of be on the field.
Yeah, they're not going to dress you up in a costume or anything, Terrence. I don't think.
No, they'll give you some swag.
I know that. You know, they've already told me. You know, the routine and everything. You know, I've been asked this to do this before, And I was just, I just feel it. You know, I guess when you're being on the field and you're coming out and you're waving the flag, it just kind of just, it feels, I would think it would feel different. So, but I'm ready for it now.
Yeah, what are you, some of the memories you have about walking down that tunnel with the helmet on instead of waving the flag? I mean, when you had the pads on and the uniform, what are some of your fondest memories about being in Buffalo for all the years that you were?
I just say, you know, being in the locker room with the guys, you know, you're missing, you know, talking to those guys. Because, right? You know, once you retire and things like that, it's not the same. You don't really talk to, you know, the guys like you normally did when you were there. You know, it's a couple guys I keep in contact with, but, it's, you know, it's definitely not the same. So that's what I would say I miss, you know, most, you know, just really, you know, practicing, grinding, and getting ready, you know, for the season with, you know, my teammates.
Hey, Terrence, what do you think the key was for you to come in here out of a smaller school, fourth-round pick, and jump up and make, you know, pretty important contributions for those Bills teams back in the 2000s? What do you think turned it around for you and got you into a good spot on this roster?
I would probably say when Troy Vincent got hurt, because that had got me, you know, more playing time. And when he came back from his injury, he moved to safety.
Uh-huh, right.
So, you know, that allowed me, you know, from, because I was just really playing a lot of, you know, nickelback, things like that. And when he had his injury or got hurt for a couple games, you know, it allowed me, you know, to get in the starting role and stay there.
Yeah, you also had a great reputation, and deservedly so, of being a great return guy. Have you kept track of the league and what they're doing with kickoffs these days and thought about how it would have affected you as a player?
Honestly, man, I don't even really watch football like that. You know, a lot of people, you know, even come to me, hey, man, you know, the Bills are this. I don't really follow, you know, too much. You know, if I catch a game, I'll watch the Bills or I'll watch the Cowboys. But I don't really just even follow the game too much, watching football like that.
Hey, Terrence, one of the plays that you are probably asked about a lot was the kick return in San Antonio against the New Orleans Saints, right? And it wasn't a scoring return, but an amazing kick return. How much do you get asked about that, and how much do you remember that play right there?
Man, I get asked about that. As a matter of fact, a 5-year-old kid asked me about it maybe about a week ago.
Really?
It was like, hey, I seen your kickoff return against the Saints, and, you know, you fell short 5 yards of the goal line. I was like, thanks for reminding me. I blame that all on my teammates. They would have just held me up and, you know,
that is
lifted
awesome.
Me across the goal line, everything would be, it'd be different.
Yeah, because there are times at that thing where you're going in, there's like 8 Bills around you, and, you know, what, nobody can turn around and look and get the guy out of the way, stay out of the way. I mean.
Right. And really, I mean, when it came down to that last guy, it was, my timing was off. I was so tired from running back and forth and everything. And then it was just like, I thought he was going to do something different than he did. And I jumped too early, and I just stumbled and fell.
Yeah.
Last thing, Terrence, how do you stay busy these days? I know you spend a lot of time in your home area in Texas, but you also have some business interests, including a restaurant here in Buffalo, right?
Yeah, so I'm in Buffalo all the time. I've really never left Buffalo. I still have a place in Buffalo, family, I come probably once a month.
Okay.
For at least 10 days. So I've never really even left, you know, since being released. I've still been, you know, back and forth to Buffalo, But yeah, that's pretty much it. I mean, you know, the restaurant, a couple other things with former teammate Angelo Crowell.
Yeah,
got some things going with Fifth Quarter. So really, just investments, and then just, you know, spending time with my kids.
Yeah. Excellent,
good for you. It's good hearing. I'm glad you're going to be back in town and try and try and embrace your role as the flag waver. I know it's not the same as getting a pick six, but, you know, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be good and very happy to see you back in town.
Right. Well, I appreciate that, man. Yeah, man, I'm definitely trying to embrace the role, and it's definitely going to be, you know, fun coming back.
Great. Terrence, thanks. Good to talk to you. We appreciate it.
All right, thank you.
Terrence McGee, longtime Bills corner, who's the leader of the charge on Sunday right before kickoff, the Bills and the Jags. Terrence joined us on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline, presented by Subway Restaurants, proud to be locally owned and operated. Go ahead. You want to say something?
No. I get it, though. He's like, yeah, he goes, you know,
I don't want to be a mascot. I've never
heard
that. Yeah.
That's true. I get where he's coming from, because when you can imagine, I did it for a long time, and I know other guys. I've been down there when guys were coming out. You walk out that tunnel in New Era Field on a Sunday afternoon wearing the helmet and the pads and the uniform. There's not too many things like it in this world.
Waving a flag doesn't compare?
It's not quite the same, I'm thinking. You know, I've never done it, but I'm thinking, yeah, it's not quite the same.
How come you've never been leader of the charge?
I work.
Oh, that's right. You're not here very often. So you could do it if you had a game a year.
No, because then I'm with the broadcast crew, and we're right down, you know, we're impartial. I can't be waving the flag for one of the teams.
I guess that would be a problem. What game do you have this week? Where are you going, Cincinnati?
I've got the Cleveland Browns at the Cincinnati Bengals.
Good. Okay.
Yeah, the Battle of Ohio
Jackson
for
Bowl.
The 5,000th time. Yes, the Hugh Jackson Bowl. He is now working for the Bengals this week.
Yeah.
He did last week, too. We saw him last week as well. But
let's talk more about that game tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll do that a little bit. I'll be ready to get you up to speed on the Browns.
Practice has just ended for the Bills. We'll talk more about that. We'll talk more about last night's wild Monday night game and get a sense from you. Is that where the NFL is going? Do you like that? Give us a call, 803-0550. Toll free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. One Bills Live presented by Kaleida Health from One Bills Drive, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio.